Psalm 55, this is clearly David's feelings when he's on the run from Absalom. Well, why was he on the run from Absalom? Well, ultimately because he'd sinned, he committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband Uriah. He should have died, but God said, all right, I will be gracious to you as you ask me, and you won't, but the sword will not depart from your family. And he was told he was going to have to bear the consequences, and he sort of humbly accepts that at the time. But I think as the years went by, to put it as Peter would in his letter, he forgot that he was purged of past sins, and he therefore cavils, as it were, I think, against the consequence of those sins. He says, I'm restless in my complaint, verse 2. He's always complaining about the consequences he was going through. And it's easy for us from this distance to say it, but I think he ought to have been more acceptive of the consequence of his sins. And so much of his prayer life that's recorded after that incident, or particularly at the time of Absalom's rebellion, is very much a complaint about the consequences and badgering God to remove them, rather than glorying in the grace and the forgiveness that's been shown him. And he becomes very condemnatory of the people who have betrayed him, particularly Ahithophel and Absalom. Verse 15, let death come suddenly on them. Let them go down alive into Sheol, into the grave. Well, going alive into the grave is the language of Korah's rebellion, and that's how David sees Absalom's rebellion. And yet, when Absalom was suddenly slain, he breaks down in grief. Well, we've got to be careful what we pray for and what we wish upon men, because it has a way of coming true, because God answers prayer. Well, verse 23, you, God, will bring them down into the pit of destruction. What happened to Absalom? 2 Samuel 18, verse 17, he is killed during the uprising against his father, and his body is cast into a pit. And David breaks down, oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for you. But here he clearly wishes upon the rebels, Absalom and Ahithophel, may God bring them, not just Ahithophel, the whole group who were rebelling, including his son, may God bring them down into the pit of destruction. And it was answered. And he goes on in 23, bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Well, bloodthirsty men, this is the idea of men who are guilty of blood. But when he repents about his sin with Uriah, he says this in Psalm 51, verse 14. He asks God to save him from his blood guiltiness. He was guilty of shedding Uriah's innocent blood by absolute deceit. He deceived Uriah and sent him off to his death. And yet he says here, bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. May God throw them down into the pit of destruction. Think, wait a minute, David. This is you, my friend. And now you are wishing upon men who have done the same as you, absolute destruction. And it happens. And as I say, putting it all together, you do start to think, look, David, you have forgotten that you were purged of past sins, as Peter puts it. Well, I think that really this is a warning to us. There are times when man comes down very small, when you are convicted of your sin, that I am not right, and wow, thank you, God, for your grace in saving me. And yet, unfortunately, over time, the wonder at that grace unfortunately dissipates, and we come to justify ourselves and to be critical and bitter against others, and you have to keep on bringing yourself back to those times when you were very small before God, and so we should live in that spirit. You remember how when he's on the run from Absalom, Shimei comes out and curses him and says, you are a man of blood. And indeed he was, and he throws stones at him, rocks, as if he's stoning him, and sort of symbolically saying, look, you deserve to be stoned to death. And David's men say, oh, let's go and cut his head off. And David says, no, don't do that. He's sort of, yeah, fair enough what he's saying. And then when David returns in triumph into Jerusalem, Shimei comes creeping before him and says, oh, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. And David says, yeah, sure, yeah, it's all scribbled. You're good, mate. And quite rightly. But then at the end of his life, David says to Solomon, hey, and I'm on my deathbed now, but bring down the grey hairs of Shimei to the grave with blood on them for me, please, my son. And Solomon does that. So he didn't retain that intensity of awareness of his own sin and his acceptance of the consequence of it. And we can easily fail. So David will be in the kingdom, although, in my opinion, he failed in this area. But, you know, we look forward to seeing David in the kingdom. And, you know, we all fail, and we all fail to appreciate the depth of our sinfulness as we should. But it's only if you can keep that up that you will find the humility that is absolutely essential to any valid service of God. It's only if you can keep up that sense of your own smallness that you will feel a true motivation for praise and for service to God.